And joining us now from ESPN Dallas, he covers the Cowboys, longtime NFL journalist, Todd Archer. Todd, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing really well, my man. How are those Cowboys doing? I assume a lot better after beating the Eagles last week. How much did that win? I know how crucial it was. It was for both teams, but I mean for the Cowboys especially. How much have they righted their ship, if they have?
Well, you know, we'll find out as they go here. But one win has really changed the mood of the team, of the area, of Cowboy fans everywhere. Because now they look at the schedule and they see three straight home games against Cleveland, Washington, Philly, and say, okay, here's where the Cowboys can get back into it. But if there's anything that people should come to expect from the Cowboys, is don't expect anything to be the same as it was from week to week. They haven't won back-to-back games this year all season. And just when you think they're ready to turn a corner, they tend to fall flat. So before everybody wants to get carried away, I think, you know, you want to see more proof before you think they're really in this thing.
Right. Cautious optimism is what you're talking about. What did they do in that Eagles game that they really hadn't been doing? I mean, I know, and by the way, I know the Eagles, the fact that Michael Vick doesn't finish the game and a rookie quarterback takes over Nick Foles, et cetera, contribute. But what, from the Cowboys' perspective, what were the things that were going right that maybe hadn't been going right before that game?
Yeah, well, they scored, you know, 21 points through special teams and on defense, and that's something that they haven't done all season. They really haven't been able to turn the ball over very much from the other team and take it away. But they had two against the Eagles, Brandon Carr with a pick six for a touchdown, and then Jason Hatcher with a sack fumble for a touchdown. And then Dwayne Harris returns a punt for a score. And, you know, before that, the punt game has been really bad the entire season and really for the last couple of years. But they were able to get what Jason Garrett called miscellaneous touchdowns, and that took pressure off the offense because despite all these names, you know, the Wittens and the Romos, Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, they're still an offense that doesn't score many points, score enough points. Only 17 in that game, 13 the week before in Atlanta when they had a chance to win. You know, they struggle to put up points because they struggle in the red zone. But one thing that helped them against Philadelphia was able to get points somewhere else. And the defense has really done a nice job of keeping this team in games.
Yeah, you look at their numbers across the board, and the most impressive part of this team is that eighth rank in the league defense, 13th against the rush, 7th against the pass. So they're pretty stout there and pretty talented on that side of the ball.
Yeah, they got a lot of names. And obviously DeMarcus Ware's at the top of the list, and you know, he's among the sack leaders again. But there are some guys, and Brandon Carr, I mentioned him earlier, is a free agent pickup they got from Kansas City, gave him $50 million. He's done a nice job. Mo Claiborne, they traded up in the first round, struggled against Philadelphia with 5 penalties by himself, but he's done a nice job as a rookie. Bruce Carter has taken over for Sean Lee as a defensive play caller. This is his second season. He's done a really nice job as well and been a guy that makes plays. But they've struggled through some injuries with Jay Ratliff missing some games. They lost Kenyon Coleman, the former Brown. They just lost him this week to a torn tricep. You know, they're Barry Church, a Toledo kid. They lost him for the season. He was a starting safety. So they're down 3 starters on IR, and they've still been able to do a nice job. The one thing that they don't do is when you absolutely positively need to make a play, need to make a stop, they don't do it. And that's what keeps them from being an elite defense and ones that, you know, mentioned what all the great ones we want to talk about in the league. That's what keeps the Cowboys in that second tier. Until they can get stops when they need it, then they're just going to be a good defense, not a great defense.
How much of that is because Sean Lee isn't there any longer, and how much does his absence hurt this defense as a whole?
Yeah, it hurts it because really he was the most productive playmaker. Now, I talk about wearing the sacks, but, you know, Lee is the guy that pretty much fills up every stat category, you know, from forced fumble to interceptions to quarterback pressures, pass deflections. The only thing he doesn't really do is sack the quarterback, and, you know, and I'm sure he would have had one by now if he was still healthy. But, you know, he's missed the last few games, and he's still the team's leading tackler by more than 20 tackles when the coaches break it down. So they miss him. But, you know, Bruce Carter has really come in and done a nice job and filled in for him. And Ernie Sims, the guy they signed off the street, has done a pretty decent job as well the last couple of weeks, filling in for Dan Connor, who's missed two games with a stinger. Connor could be back this week, but I think they stick with Sims. But Lee is the guy, you know, Rob Ryan calls him the brains of the defense. And if Rob struggles getting a play in, Sean will just follow the defense and things will work out pretty well.
Todd Archer of ESPN Dallas joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we talk about Sunday's game between the Browns and the Cowboys. You bring up Rob Ryan, of course, a familiar name to all the folks who follow the Browns, former Browns defensive coordinator, and known for that aggressive style, for that schematic stuff that with blitz combinations and so forth to really get after things. He's got a rookie quarterback coming to town, and it would figure that he would be dialing up a lot of different pressure packages for Brandon Whedon. But as I study this team, I don't see him doing that as much on a regular basis as he's done before. It seems like they're relying more on the talents of DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer and company to just use their skills to win their battles up front. Is that true, Todd?
Absolutely. You know, the guy that is viewed as this guru of blitzes and bringing pressure and Buddy's kid and all that stuff, he really doesn't do it very often. He'll rely on four-man pressure. Last week against Philadelphia, they brought five or more guys only eight times, and three of those times came with Vic, and Vic only played the first quarter in a series. So even facing a rookie like Nick Foles, he preferred to sit back and play some coverage so as he doesn't get beat deep with allowing the big plays. What hurt the Cowboys last year were a number of big plays, and were they all against the blitz? No, they weren't all against the blitz, but he doesn't want to put his secondary in compromising positions. It's really an odd deal because they got Carr. They traded up for Claiborne. You'd think there'd be more confidence on the outside guys, say, okay, let's come after him. We got these great guys we can cover. But he just doesn't do that. He's preferred to let teams, look, if they're going to make plays on him, let's see if they can put together 10, 11, 12-play drive. The Cowboys have done a better job this year against the big play, in part because he just doesn't blitz very much.
And, of course, with that in mind, the pressure that's still able to come conventionally or otherwise would have the Browns hoping and looking to utilize their best offensive player, and that's Trent Richardson, and pound away on the ground in this game as much as possible against the 13th-ranked rush defense. How do you see the Cowboys standing up to that sort of thing with a player in Richardson who has back-to-back 100-yard games and, as you know, is really a powerful but also explosive back?
Yeah, I think last week they caught a break against Philadelphia with Andy Reid or Marty Mornerwing's unwillingness to want to run the ball with LeSean McCoy, because McCoy had some opportunities there and did a nice job. They just didn't give him the ball enough, in my opinion, and obviously that won't be a problem this week. You know, Atlanta 2 weeks ago, Michael Turner went over 100 yards. They're going to miss Kenyon Coleman. You know, he's done a nice job holding up against the run. They have Sean Lissamore hopefully coming back from an ankle injury. They're really not sure if he can play, but a different guy than Kenyon, not as big. More of an agile guy that I wouldn't say he necessarily sets the edge way Kenyon Coleman does. They have Marcus Spears, a veteran. Jay Ralph is not your prototypical 3-4 nose tackle. He's another guy that gets around with movement and things like that. So, you know, this will be probably their biggest test since week two in the running game when they played Marshawn Lynch. Similar styles, I would say, between Lynch and Richardson and you know, the Browns are going to want to keep pressure off the quarterback and keep it in short, down in distances. They're going to want to run the ball. You know, the Cowboys are going to have to do a great job on first down, and they've been okay there. But again, I think they got a little bit of break last week with Philly not running LeSean McCoy as much.
I know we've gone pretty far into this thing without mentioning the name of Tony Romo, and I feel remiss about that. But I do sense that, again, it does start with that defense first and foremost. Offensively, though, Romo and this passing game, inability to get on track or get consistent with that as far as that goes. How do you see that sort of coming together against a Browns team that now has Phil Taylor back, getting Ataba Aruba back in the middle? The way teams have been able to, it looks to me that the most effective defense is, and I guess it's true with a lot of quarterbacks, Todd, but is collapsing the front of that pocket. And when you do that with Tony Romo, it seems like that's when things can go sideways for that offense.
Right. And, you know, last week against Philadelphia, you know, he was only sacked, I want to say twice or something like that. And he did a great job of avoiding pressure on the biggest play of the game, getting under two guys, finding Miles Austin, and two plays later throwing a deep ball to Dez Bryant. So, you know, Romo's gone two straight games without interception. That's the first time he's done that this season. He has nine in the home game so far this season. That's not, obviously, you know, five against Chicago and four against the Giants. So, he's done a better job of protecting the ball. The offensive line, and I think that this is what's kind of held the passing game back some, is I don't know if the head coach slash play caller and Jason Garrett trust the offensive line long to hold up long enough for Romo to get the ball down the field to Austin and Bryant. You know, Jason Witten's got 66 catches on pace for a tight end record for a single season, but he's only averaging 9 yards a catch. And some of that is they're just getting it out quick because they don't have faith in that line. They got Nate Livingston, Cincinnati, Mackenzie Bernardo from Carolina. That Ryan Cook's been their center. They traded him 4 days before the season. They haven't been able to hold that pocket up. And when teams get pressure on the outside, Romo's had a hard time making things happen. And when he has tried to make things happen, it's backfired. So, you know, they're really quick with the passing game. And until they get faith in that line, I don't know if anything's going to change with them trying to take shots down the field.
Do you feel, is it palpable, the sense of pressure that's being felt there by Jason Garrett, by I guess, Tony Romo as well, but I guess particularly on Garrett because of the rumblings about maybe his coaching future, the reports that mention Mike Holmgren, who is the outgoing president, of course, of the Browns, maybe someone that Jerry Jones would be interested in as a head coach. That kind of talk, that kind of conversation coming up at midseason, how disruptive has that been to the Cowboys?
Yeah, you know, it really hasn't been, and I give Garrett a lot of credit for that because he personally can ignore all that noise and not let it bother him. And then you ask players in the locker room if they see it getting to them, and the guys who have been around it, and none of them say it does. It's the Jason is the same guy every day when all this, be it Sean Payton 2 weeks ago or Holmgren stuff here last week. I don't think Jason Garrett's going anywhere. The only way I could see Jason Garrett leaving or being forced to leave, I should say, is if the Cowboys can guarantee they're getting Sean Payton. That's the only way I see that happening. You know, Jerry's on record saying that he doesn't like getting coaches who have won Super Bowls in one spot because they've never won one in another spot. Now, a couple, obviously, Mike's gone to a Super Bowl in Seattle, and Parcells went to a Super Bowl in New England. But when he hired Parcells, he was also looking to get the stadium built, and that name helped in that regard. If Jerry's going to get a guy who's won a Super Bowl, I don't think he wants to get a guy who's in his mid-60s. He'd rather get a younger guy like Payton because he still believes that fire will be in the belly a little bit. I don't think Jason Garrett's going anywhere. I think Payton ends up in New Orleans, and I think Jason Garrett will be this team's coach in 2013, and that will be the year where he really needs to be on point and winning games, or then his future's really in trouble.
Well, Todd, we truly appreciate the knowledge and look forward to seeing you on Sunday, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Vic. I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
He is Todd Archer from ESPN Dallas joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.